Jesus had sent out the apostles one time, and he told them to go and tell people the good news. This is another event where Jesus sends out not the 12 disciples, but 72 other people. He sent them out in pairs, two by two. And they were to go where he was going to be. During his time of ministry, he would travel to these places. Before these people went out, in some of those areas, they had heard about the things that Jesus was doing. And they were curious. But also into those places, there are hearts that were hard. Lives that didn't want to be changed. Didn't want to have anybody messing with them. Set in their ways. You know, early Lutherans. You know, think about it. And Jesus told them, when you go out there, tell them, peace be to this house. Now, why would you do that when they were sinning and much of the community had idolatry, false gods, and sacrifices of all kinds? And they were consumed with this lifestyle, and if they didn't believe in any kind of God, they were just basically self-absorbed. Why would you go into a place and say, peace be with you? When people were being unfaithful in marriage, and when people were cheating and stealing, when people were lying and in their own language having some sort of swearing, why would you come in and say, peace be with you? Where they hadn't yet said, I believe in Jesus, you know, and or like that hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus, or, you know, even to sing Abide with Me. Of course, those hymns weren't written yet. But why would we enter into such a conversation and say, peace be with you? And the answer is simple. The answer to sin is the very opposite of it. The people already knew torment. They knew guilt. They knew shame. The people already knew what corruption was, bribery and the like. The people already knew despair because not always did their gods give them what they wanted. The people already knew what betrayal was and brokenheartedness. Some of the people knew poverty. Some of the people knew that wealth couldn't buy you happiness. The people know what you and I already know. That in this world, in this veil of tears, it's hard to find peace. The kind of peace that isn't temporary. The kind of peace that's not defined by a mother of six kids saying, I would like some peace and quiet around here. Because even if you took away the noise, have you ever experienced it? When you take away the noise of the chaos around you, there can still be the absence of peace in here and in here. Have you ever not been able to sleep because you couldn't shut your brain down? Have you ever not been able to relax because your heart was in anguish? They know that kind of absence of peace. It wasn't required to point it out. So God in Christ sent them out two by two. And the message is, peace be with you. This peace that Christ brings, a real peace, a real presence of peace. an overwhelming peace. And it wasn't being portioned out like that small piece of paper. Would you like just a little bit of quiet peace? You know, it wasn't a taunt. It wasn't a ridicule. It wasn't, you know, the blue light special at Kmart, you know how they used to have that, and they would put something on sale, but next to it would be an upgrade. And you would look at the blue light special and you think, well, I could have that. This is not what those men were doing. They were really sent by Christ with his blessing, with his spiritual presence, with the power to proclaim and to give what God gives to all. This peace in Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, that surpasses all human understanding, where it keeps our hearts and minds in Christ. This was evangelism in its early form. This was reaching out to the lost, the brokenhearted, the despairing, the sick, the confused, not the physically lost, but the spiritually lost. This was reaching out to people who were not satisfied, were not pleased, and were in turmoil with their life and inside. And not everybody was that way. The text reminds us that some people didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to have it. They were stuck, and they wanted to remain stuck in that torment and in their fake peace. It is the one who is similar to a substance abuser who says, I know what comfort this gives me, and I will pay for it at any cost. And that's the way some of those people in their communities were. And yet what happens is that some believed. And wherever the peace of Christ was to rest, and where the Holy Spirit had worked on their heart, a whole new way was given to them. They probably still had the same job, and they still had the same number of kids, and the mother-in-law may not have changed, but there was a new way inside. It was a way of Christ. And the disciples were given this word, this message of hope and of salvation. And the message is the kingdom of God is near. And when you have peace, peace through Jesus Christ, you're not afraid of that. You know, when some people hear God is coming, God is a three-letter word, and you might as well said cops. The cops are coming. Look out. Duck. Behave. Act natural. And people would be afraid. But when you have the peace of Christ, that perfect peace that casts out fear, we're no longer afraid of the kingdom of God. Whether we're talking about God's kingdom here on earth or God's eternal kingdom, we're no longer afraid. And to those that did not receive that peace, those whose hearts were hard, and it wasn't in human control to make it one way or another, they did not receive that peace. And so that same word of comfort that comes to a believer, the kingdom of God is near, becomes a judgment for those who reject it. Because now they see a condemning God who's on his way. And that's why you have those verses about Chorazin and Tyre and Sidon. The communities that did not repent. The communities where as a whole group of people, they did not want the gospel. They wanted their own style of good news. And it is a warning that if you stay in this way, it will not be good. But the warning wasn't first. The good news was first. Sometimes I think, and the trend today, especially with the way the media portrays Christianity, it seems like the first thing that comes out of a Christian's mouth is law. Don't be doing that. You shouldn't do that. You keep that up, you're going to not heaven. I think there's a model here for us that if we're to offer hope to a world that is broken, it is to offer the peace of Christ. They already know pain. What they don't know and what they don't have is peace. And to tell them about this peace of Christ that takes away the guilt, the shame, the depressed heart, even when grieving, it comforts the heart to sustain us. To talk about that kind of peace has the power of the word, and it is the joy of the Lord. We talk about all kinds of things, don't we? Trump, Clintons. I find no peace in that conversation. Okay? We talk about sports and all the players. And I don't find a lot of peace in that one. We talk about the stock markets, investments, and our 401 and 401ks and 3Bs and whatever number you want to use. Do you understand? I don't find peace in that. We talk about our health. Anybody got peace? You know, headaches, migraines, allergies, asthma, cancer. If it's not in me, it's in one of my family members, and I don't find a lot of peace in that. So into our own chaos, even as believers, here's the good news. Peace be with you. And he gives it to you that the world cannot give. And he grants it in a way that the world cannot give it. And he fulfills it in a way that the world cannot complete it. Isn't it remarkable? We are the new 72. It's not the number. It's just simply we're the peace and the people of God that go together hand in hand into the community to tell others. Amen.